Yangon University.
He used sort of the history of the United States and its, if you will, evolution in democracy to motivate Myanmar and saying, hey, you can continue moving along on your democratic reform.
Credit card debt shot up nearly 5% during the third quarter compared to last year. TransUnion says as Americans are pulling out the plastic more, the late payment rate is rising. This is NBC News Radio. Great news at the gas pump as prices have dropped about 7 cents over the past 2 weeks. The lower price should save motorists some cash as they head out for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. The average price for a gallon of gas is now $3.47. Retailers are pulling out all stops this holiday season. CNBC's Courtney Reagan fills us in.
Walmart, Sears, and Toys R Us will open their doors as early as 8 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. To push digital sales, retailers are offering doorbuster deals to those who download their mobile apps or join their mailing list. Sears is leading the pack and starting its online Black Friday sales today.
Holiday sales are only expected to rise about 4% this year compared to a 5.6% gain last year. The statue of Pope John Paul II in Rome is getting a makeover after critics suggested last year it looked more like fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. Revisions have the pontiff smiling and his chin is more defined. I'm Barbara Cusack, NBC News Radio.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
This Thanksgiving and Black Friday, unwrap huge savings from Sprint. Save $150 on an unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3. The ultimate way to connect, capture, and share, now for only $49.99. Visit your Sprint store on Black Friday or beat the rush Thursday and Friday at Sprint.com.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Is the economy getting better or worse? Here's a bit of research that could suggest either. TransUnion reports that in this year's July through September quarter, U.S. credit card holders put more on the plastic. Balances grew 4.9% as consumer spending increased. Debt rising to $4 below $5,000 on average. Definitely not good is the fact the number of people falling behind on payments is rising again. Those 90 days overdue make up almost 1% of us. This weekend, we found out gasoline prices are declining in almost every area of the country. Areas still trying to rebuild following Superstorm Sandy remain the exception. But the price decline could be challenged as one of the more historically familiar reasons for oil price increases becomes a factor again, the Middle East. Israel and Gaza are not major oil producers, but their escalating fight threatens to involve neighbors, which are. Holiday shortened week for Wall Street. Indicators up for the moment. S&P futures gaining 7, NASDAQ futures up 12. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there.
So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts. Sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Our country is divided. With fault lines on every issue and constantly shifting blame, America has been held in deadlock. With confidence in our elected officials quickly waning, where can you turn when you want real progress? There is a place for insight, answers, and community in this divisive society. There is a place for you, a place for your sanity. Welcome to your first shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yes, welcome everybody. It is Monday, the 19th day of November 2012, as we go into a holiday shortened week. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking forward to the long weekend. Yeah, we're taking a four-dayer ourselves, and very much looking forward to that. You know, for all intents and purposes, we haven't had any time off, in quite a while. So we're going to look forward to that. But we have a lot of work to do between now and Thursday morning. I know many of you, some of you actually have parts of this week off. Some of you all of this week off, and good for you. You know, just looking forward to being with family, having a little time to decompress. But between now and then, we have issues, so do we have issues, and we're going to get to all of that, including today. And, you know, Joe keeps on booking people on the show whose last names I can't pronounce. So here we go. At 7 o'clock, Keith, which I can pronounce. Here we go. It's Kompaltowicz, and I'm sure I got that wrong. Anyway, he is a meteorologist with the Army Corps of Engineers, and we're going to talk about a recent story in MLive that says that the lake levels, the Great Lake water levels, are near historic lows. What does that mean, and how can we reverse it, and why is it more important than ever that we have protections in place to make sure that the water that surrounds us stays right where it's at? Ross Eisenbray will join us at 7:35. He's a vice president with the Economic Policy Institute. We're going to talk about why right to work for less is actually right to work for less. We like to bring you facts. Facts is what this is all about. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, joins us just after 8 o'clock. He's thankful for a lot of things. We'll find out what's on his thankful list. Christy Berry from bloggingformichigan.com joins us in our blog roll segment. She is also taking a look at right to work. We'll get her perspective on it. In fact, she's provided us with a little bit of audio, 10 seconds of eye-opening audio that you definitely want to hear. Aaron Smith joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. Aaron is an organizer with Strike Debt. Have you heard about Rolling Jubilee? Have you heard about this group that's actually raising money to buy a bad debt and perhaps retire yours? We're going to get into all of that. And Mitch Free joins us. He's the founder and CEO of MFG.com. Recently, an announcement was made that much more effort is going to be put into helping our veterans find jobs once they come back from war. Mitch has a plan to help us with that, so we've got a lot of stuff to get to. But before we do any of that, it's time to punch in.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Condition. Conditions. We'll put an S in that. Conditions. What are the conditions for anything? I mean, you know, the conditions have to be just right for fill in the blank. There's a reason for that. You know, this has to do with having foresight. And as we are coming off one election and getting into the bitter battles that are either facing us in the lame duck or in the new year, there are going to be certain conditions that make it more appropriate for us to do, again, fill in the blank or fill in the blank. The reason that I chose that word for today is, are you making sure that you are lining up things that you want to see happen and that the conditions are favorable? Get that? The conditions are favorable to actually making it happen. The conditions matter. The conditions are important. They are the building blocks on which we either build a strong foundation, we build a wall, we build a fence, we build an opportunity, but conditions are a critical component in that construction process. And it's critical. It's critical to make sure that you've done your homework. It's critical to make sure that you've gathered the right amount of people. These all make for more favorable conditions. We really do need to be much more deliberate on what we want to get involved with and how we plan to get involved and then how we plan to change. I gave a speech yesterday afternoon, and one of the things I said in that speech is showing up is just not enough. Agreeing with me is just not enough. Are the right conditions in place to affect that change? Not every one of us is meant to be a leader. But for those that are willing to follow, that does not mean that you don't bring value. In fact, it means you do bring value, but you have to make sure that you understand the conditions going in. Conditions are an integral part. It's not something we often talk about, but it is, again, the building blocks for what makes us stronger. Make sense? All right. Today's first word is conditions.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0 swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
Yes, we do. And we welcome back and say good morning to the one and only Anthony. Good morning, eh?
Oh, good morning. How's the weekend?
Well, my middle son moved out, and I'm feeling forlorn about that.
Oh, that's not too good.
Well, it'll be okay. I just love him, and I'm going to miss him, and, you know, he kind of helps me keep my sanity at home, but I don't have that anymore, so I'll get over it. Oh, by the way, you happen to be that middle child.
Yes, I am.
Do you like your new place?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah?
Yep.
Quiet?
Yeah, it's like the old Stroh's Brewery, so it's like it's like solid concrete all the way around.
And now you realize you just told 12 people where you live.
Kind
of. That was a joke. I said 12. Oh, never mind. Well, I'm happy for you. I can't wait to see the place. And I know that Mom was really anxious to go yesterday, but you looked a little stressed. And so I thought the last thing you needed was us crawling around your new place. So we'll come this week at some point.
Yeah, well, we got a long weekend, so.
Yeah, we do have a long weekend, absolutely.
Works out.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's take a look at the world of sports. I'm just trying to remember who picked all of the games correctly. That would be me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be me. Unfortunately for Michigan State, let's start with that. I didn't watch a minute of the Michigan State game. I didn't realize they were on at the same time because I'm used to one being on at noon and one at 3:30 or whatever. You know, okay. So I didn't realize they were on at the same time they were. It doesn't matter. I fell asleep on the couch after I went to the AFL thing, had a great dinner with Mihalakis and the Greek Mafia. By the way, I met I've already known his dad, but I met a lot of his uncles, his godfathers. And by the way, Chris speaks Greek fluently, which shouldn't surprise me. I just never heard him do it before.
Yeah, that is interesting. We got to have him do it next Thursday.
Absolutely, we will. In fact, one of the questions I'm going to ask, we'll have this conversation some other time. Anyway, so after I went out to lunch with Roger Robinson, the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers, Mihalakis, his father, his family, because Chris was reelected, by the way, president of the Metro Detroit AFL in a 3-year term. Anyway, after we did that, I came back and I just kind of passed out on the couch watching the game. And so I didn't really see much of the Michigan game. But Michigan State lost. And, again, I didn't watch the game. I don't know if you why you were moving, so I don't know that you watched any of it as well. But what the hell happened?
I don't know. I caught a little bit. There was just bad football. I seen a couple turnovers. I seen at halftime the score was 6-5, which I wonder when the last time that score happened.
6-5?
At halftime, yeah.
Glad I didn't have squares for that game.
Right.
Wow, okay. Yeah, crazy. Well, Michigan not only found a way to win, they found a crazy way to win. Denard Robinson, all week it was, are they going to put him in for a play for Senior Day, right? It was the last game at Michigan Stadium. He's a senior. He's graduating. Where are they going to put him in for a play? Well, they put him in for more than one. What a crazy scenario. Did you have any clue that was coming?
No, I had no idea. Like you said, I was moving, so I checked the score at halftime, and I'm sitting there looking through the stat line, and I see Denard Robinson 10 rushes for like 78 yards. I'm like, I was like, what? And then I turned the game on, and he's lined up at running back.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it was just crazy. But what a dynamic combination between Devin Gardner and Denard Robinson. Yeah, they did. Now, of course, the bad news in this is Toussaint broke his leg and had surgery literally right after the game, and he is out for a very long time.
Are they hoping to get him back for a bowl game, maybe?
No way.
No?
No way. No, not when you have surgery. I mean, it's one thing to break your leg and, you know, get it cast on it. That's a whole other thing when you need... I'm assuming... You know, again, they're only going to release so much information publicly, but I'm assuming they probably had to put screws in. I'm thinking it was a clean break, but a big break. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure that after the press conference today, we'll know more. I'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, take a look at the predicted Lions loss yesterday. Yeah, I've taken the drama out of it, but those of you that follow football already know that. And then, of course, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Happy, happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. The holiday season is upon us. Ready or not, here we come. We'll take a very quick break here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
The earlier reported accident, I-94 westbound at Shook Road, has been cleared. However, we still have to deal with the fog this morning, so that's causing delays out on your roadway. We are under fog advisory until 11 a.m. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
The one and only Honey Baked. And speaking of Honey Baked, Thanksgiving is just 3 days away, which means you only have 2 days to sign up to become a VIP and enjoy $7 off any size Honey Baked ham. Only a Honey Baked ham is slow smoked, fire glazed, and hand finished one at a time. Sign up at HoneyBakedFoods.com today.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets.
Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday morning. All right. The Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers played a fairly even game yesterday. The only thing that wasn't even was the final score. The Green Bay Packers, literally in the last couple minutes of the game, sealed the victory, putting the Lions in an almost impossible position to make the playoffs. Oh, heavy sigh. Anthony, last place in the division.
Yep.
That's it, huh? Yep.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? They lost.
They did lose.
I'm not happy.
I'm not happy either. They were winning most of the game. I mean, they played okay. Defense played real well, except when it mattered. Man, oh, man, I just don't know how to solve this problem. They've got talent. So you have to start asking yourself this question. Is it the coaching?
Yeah, the coaching. I mean, I really don't know what the problem is. It's frustrating to watch them play every week with the people, with all the high draft picks they do have, and they don't play to their potential.
No, they do not. And again, that's why you have to start asking yourself the question, is it the coaching? Because at some point, you know, you've got one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. You've got a receiving core that any other team would die to have. I got to tell you now, you know, Matt Stafford certainly had some errant passes yesterday, but receivers are dropping balls. And Calvin Johnson, there were at least two, if not three throws that I just don't know where the hell his head was at. But it certainly didn't seem to be in the game.
Who are you referring to in that
Calvin
one?
Calvin Johnson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there was also a few where Stafford missed Calvin wide open about three times.
Right, right. I said, you know, some errant throws and then some drop passes. I don't get it. Anyway, we're not gonna focus on that. They play Thursday, Houston. I don't anticipate that is gonna be a victory, but we'll see what happens and we'll talk about it before we get out of here on Wednesday morning. So, unfortunately, did the Pistons play this weekend?
Oh, yeah, last night.
Did they win?
Oh, they beat Boston by 20.
Really?
Yeah, they played a really good game yesterday.
Well, that'll show you. You know, it's so funny because the Free Press usually puts sports right at the very top, and sometimes it's a little box. They don't put the Pistons score up at all. I don't know why that is, but I also wasn't looking for it, and therefore, I don't know. I'm glad they won. So now they're 2-8 on the season.
2-9.
2-9.
Yep.
Okay. Well, whatever. It's another victory nonetheless. No word out of the National Hockey League, correct?
Still talking, meeting again today, but no progress.
Okay. Well, All right, we'll leave it there. That does it for Spy. By the way, Anthony, how did you like the fog this morning?
I was freaking out. I literally could not see the freeways, because the freeways are even lower. The freeways were just a thick cloud. I really couldn't see anything.
I don't know what is up with no streetlights on our commute anymore. Did you notice that there were no streetlights on at all?
Yeah, we were literally seeing, maybe 10 feet in front of us?
If that.
Right.
Yeah. I was actually just following the line on the road. I wasn't looking up. I was a little bit, but I was just following the lines on the road because I had no clue where we were at half the time.
You had to look down. Yeah, I know when before we got on 275, I didn't even know where we were yet, and I was like, man, we're still in 96. This is crazy.
Yeah, it did take us a little longer to get here, which is my way of saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not yet looked outside, it is very foggy. Your commute is going to take longer. There's a fog advisory till 11 a.m., which means the fog is going to be around a while. Be very, very careful out there. The temperature is right at freezing. That may make some of the roads slick. So you really do want to be very careful as you're out and about this morning. Just take it easy. I did notice that there was not a lot of traffic coming in this morning. It was much lighter traffic than normal. That's why I'm suggesting some people may have this week off, because there was a remarkable lessening of traffic this morning. All right. Anyway, I do want to thank some people. You know, starting last Wednesday, I had a meeting last Wednesday night. Then Thursday, I went to the Planned Parenthood lecture series, which was really amazing at their Cass Avenue office. Then on Friday, I went to the Transgender Day of Remembrance Memorial Service, which was both sad and beautiful and loving and caring. And it was just, and they were so, everybody was so warm and nice to me. Just had a great time. And the Reverend Lowe, who is the pastor at the United Central Methodist Church, was very, very welcoming to everybody that was there. There were some great speakers. They read off the names of 264 transgendered people that have been identified the world over that were killed from December of 2011 until November of 2012. But I'm just so grateful that they included me in their service, and I was happy to be there. And anyway, we'll be talking more about the transgendered experience moving forward. I think that we certainly don't do a good enough job of educating people on that lifestyle. And maybe if you understand it better, and then slowly but surely everybody will understand it better. That's my thought, my prayer anyway. So then Saturday morning, I went to the AFL-CIO, the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, had their constitutional convention. They made some changes to their constitution, and one of them, defending gender identity, which was awfully big of them. They reelected their officers, including Chris Mihalakis, as I said a little earlier, David Hecker, and others. And then I was the keynote speaker there. Thoroughly enjoyed my speech with them. And then yesterday afternoon, I spoke to the American Postal Workers Union 480-481, Roscoe Woods president, and they were very gracious to me. Don't know what those people were thinking, but they actually gave me a standing ovation. I should have recorded it because don't know what I said that was all that good, but we're in this for the long haul. We're in this fight for the long haul. If you need me, if you'd like me to come speak at one of your events, I don't care what it is. If I've got time on my calendar, then I will be happy to accommodate you. Just send me an email at tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org. And again, as long as I've got time on my calendar, I am happy to speak with you. I only have one more event this month, or in December, December 15th, and that'll do it for this year. So if you've got something coming up and you need me, best to get with me quick, because we are going to be off the last 10 days of the year. Just the way the holiday falls, we're going to be off for actually technically 11 days with the weekends. But so if you need me, you need to get to me quickly is all I'm saying. Tony@thetonyshow.org. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. When we come back, we've got some audio to get to. We've got some stories to get to. Of course, we're always open lines in the first hour, so feel free to join us if something's on your mind. Our number, of course, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, I just gave it to you, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, we just reached 700 followers just yesterday. That's right, at Tony Trupiano. Let's take a very quick break here. We'll continue with First Shift right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
There's not much to report so far this morning out on the roadways, except for the fact that there is heavy, heavy fog. In some areas, zero visibility, so please drive with caution this morning. And there's road construction, which has your right lane closed, I-75 northbound before Dearborn Street, exit 44. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
If for no other reason, President Obama's re-election was a victory in the sense that America averted a hard Romney-Ryan lurch rightward, downward, and backward all at once. Ouch, that would have hurt. By campaign's end, it was painfully clear that Romney, a lifelong son of privilege, had no understanding of, empathy with, or appreciation for ordinary workaday Americans. He really is a born CEO who accepts in his heart, mind, and soul the Ayn Randian fiction that America really is made up of a small class of noble producers and a mass of moochers. The man from Bain Capital, who had made a fortune by taking over corporations and coldly axing longtime loyal employees, quietly brought that corporate side of his character back into play on election night. Even as he was on national television delivering his brief concession speech, his campaign apparatus was being swiftly dismantled. Left in the lurch were Romney's many staffers who had toiled so faithfully for so long. Late that night, many of these disappointed and weary ones grabbed cabs home from the campaign's headquarters, only to find upon arrival that the Romney for President credit cards they had been using were suddenly no good. Without even telling these aides, the boss who wanted to be our nation's leader had abruptly yanked this modest benefit from the people who had tried to help him get there. They had just lost their jobs, but multimillionaire Mitt stuck them with paying out-of-pocket for cab fare. This is Jim Hightower saying, come on, with untold millions stashed in offshore bank accounts, couldn't Romney have ponied up a few small bills to cover this last ride home? Of course he could have, but he wouldn't. Of all things to think of doing on election night, cutting off his employees' credit cards was a priority. We're lucky this sorry character lost.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift. with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Happy Monday to you. A shortened week for many. We're going to talk about that in a minute as well. I want to play some audio for you, and then I'm going to give you some commentary because I find this really interesting. As you know, last week, Mitt Romney went out of his way to say that the reason that President Obama won was because he provided gifts to certain constituencies. There have been Republicans beating themselves up to criticize Mitt Romney. On Meet the Press yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham had this to say about Mitt Romney.
Before you go, Senator, I know it's head spinning. There's so much to talk about, including politics and the future of your party. But all of these things are very much on the menu right now. Mitt Romney got a lot of attention this week by talking about gifts he thinks the president gave to minorities to get their vote, to fundraisers. This is a portion of what he said. I want to get your reaction to it.
What the president's campaign did was focus on certain members of his base coalition, give them extraordinary financial gifts from the government, and then work very aggressively to turn them out to vote, and that strategy worked.
What's your reaction to that?
We're in a big hole. We're not getting out of it by comments like that. When you're in a hole, stop digging. He keeps digging. The Hispanic community, 71% voted for President Obama, and they're all disappointed in President Obama. There's high unemployment among the Hispanic community. President Obama did not embrace comprehensive immigration reform like he promised, but they voted for him because he's a lesser of two evils. Self-deportation being pushed by Mitt Romney hurt our chances. We're in a death spiral with Hispanic voters because of rhetoric around immigration, and candidate Romney in the primary dug the hole deeper. You know, people can be on public assistance and scheme the system. That's real, and these programs are teetering on bankruptcy, but most people who are on public assistance don't have a character flaw. They just have a tough life. I want to create more jobs, and the focus should be on how to create more jobs, not demonize those who find themselves in hard times. Our party can adjust. Conservatism is an asset, but rhetoric like this keeps digging a hole for the Republican Party, and if we don't stop digging, we're never going to get out of it.
Yeah, okay. Listen, that's a wonderful thing to say. Why didn't you say that, you hypocrite, when Mitt Romney was making these mistakes during the campaign? You know what? I appreciate that it's being said, but I'm not going to jump on this anti-Mitt bandwagon, because I've been on an anti-Mitt bandwagon for months, if not years. I find it disingenuous that all of a sudden Republicans are beating themselves up to distance themselves and the party from Mitt Romney, when these are the same mistakes he was making during the campaign. So what does this tell us? This tells us that had Mitt Romney been elected, people would have either been lying to him or were lying to him and kissing his ass, and now they don't have to kiss his ass, so they can just go on and criticize him. There's no question Mitt Romney is done with the Republican Party, and I'm sure that door swings both ways. They're done with him, he's done with them, especially after the last week or so. But Mitt Romney never had the common sense to filter what he said, and maybe that's a benefit to all of us, and I mean all of us. Because he wasn't smart enough to know when to say what or what to say when, he lost the election. We knew too much about him. You know, the reality is, without women and minorities, without blacks and Hispanics and Asians, president doesn't get reelected. Just doesn't happen. And why are they voting for President Obama? Is it a vote against Mitt Romney or a vote for President Obama? Well, it's both. People vote for weird reasons, for very weird reasons. For some people, it is about the anti-candidate. For others, it's about the pro-candidate. That's fine. It serves us. It gets us to where we need to go. You'll hear me, as you have many times, you know, haranguing people to register to vote and to vote. I'm not forcing them to vote one way or the other. I just want them to vote.
I want our democracy to be truly representative, which it is not, because the minority of the majority votes. And that in and of itself is a problem. In fact, I think that for tomorrow's poll question, I'm going to ask, should voting be mandatory in this country? Should we, you know, in Australia, it's mandatory. If you don't vote, you're fined. Now, I'm not pro or con at this point. I'm just throwing the question out there. But I just find it inexcusable for Republican lawmakers to now bash Mitt Romney nonstop after the election when they all politely folded their hands in their laps during the election, applauded nicely, said, yay, yay, Mitt's our guy. Yeah, not so much, right? It's done, it's over with, it's not going to matter. I wonder if, you know, Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney have ever met, compared notes. Because they're about as bright as the other one. You know, that's the interesting thing. Mitt Romney obviously is a very intelligent man. But one of the things that we definitively knew about him that was confirmed during this campaign is that when you come from privilege, when you come from that kind of wealth, and you've filtered most of your decisions, with the exception of the tithing you do to your church, when you base most of your decisions on how much money you make, how much of it you can keep, etc., that takes intelligence. That takes smarts. You don't build a Bain Capital the way Mitt Romney did without having very, very wealthy friends in very high places that are able to make things happen for your benefit, which also happens to be for their benefit. It's so interesting. It's so interesting, and the hypocrisy has just got me totally, I'm telling you, I'm totally disconnected from whatever it is that the Republican Party stands for. If you don't like the Mitt Romney you got now, you didn't like the Mitt Romney you had then. And we know that now. So just own up to it. What would really be refreshing is if Lindsey Graham would have said, listen, I made a mistake during the election. I should have called him out then. I didn't have the stones to do it. And I apologize. I'm glad that my decision to not say something then didn't end up hurting this country, because that's what he's saying now. He's saying now that Mitt Romney is hurting this country. So take that for what it's worth. There are problems, folks. There's trouble right here in River City. Okay, let's get on to some more audio. Olympia Snow, retiring from Maine. Moderate Republican, known for her compromise. Can't imagine she finds this Republican Party tolerable. Was on Face the Nation on CBS yesterday and said this about the Great Compromise.
Senator, I want to ask you about your retirement, because I really did think it was kind of a marker in time when a member of the Senate would say, this is no longer the place that one can accomplish anything. This must have been a hard decision for you.
It was very much so, Bob, and I appreciate your comments. And I did, and it was something that I had to think about, and I started to think about the future of the Senate and what had transpired. It wasn't what I had been accustomed to in building bipartisan bridges. And I felt I could be a more effective voice on the outside in building bridges and providing a support system and a network to support members of Congress who are willing to work across the political aisle. I'm building a website through social media as well so people reward those individuals who are willing to compromise.
Well, what has gone wrong? I mean, when I came to Washington, people compromised. Now it's a dirty word. When did that happen?
Well, you know, it's a good question. It happened, unfortunately, very rapidly. And somehow people think that compromising is capitulating in your principles. You couldn't be far from it. People understand you got to solve problems, so you got to talk to people with whom you disagree. And so I thought, how best could I contribute my 34 years of experience and voice on the outside so that we don't return to this kind of dysfunction ever again, especially at this moment in time for our history. But the essence of public service is solving problems, and we've lost that central purpose. and we have to return to it. And hopefully we have some starters here with the fiscal cliff decisions, and that we can have confidence building measures in the final analysis, because there's a sense of urgency. So hopefully the conciliation of words will turn into urgency of action.
Well, and of course, we all want that, don't we? I mean, at some level, that's what we all want. We want compromise. We want to put these issues, we want to deal with them. We want to put them behind us. We want to be realistic. We know, you know, people can criticize the stimulus all they want. Without it, our economy would have collapsed, which means the world economy would have collapsed. I could go on. And the reason that the stuff that happened at the beginning of the president's first term happened is because he had a Democratic House and Democratic Senate. Little easier to pass legislation when you don't need the other side to vote. Ask the state Democrats. They'll tell you. Republicans have it pretty easy in the state of Michigan right now. But that's not compromise. And the better good of man is not served without compromise. I'm all for checks and balances. I'm all for it. But we don't have that any longer, because we have one party that has become known as the party of no. And then we have everybody else. This is a serious problem. And Olympia Snow quits. Take that for what it's worth. Let's take a quick break here. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. Good Monday morning to you. A lot to get to yet as we work our way through this early Thanksgiving week. Take the break. We'll be back.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
It's coming Cyber Monday. SweetJack.com introduces the Sweet Shop, stocked with gadgets and gifts for everyone on your list, all at super sale prices. Sign up today at SweetJack.com and get your members-only discount to use Turkey Day through the weekend.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born
for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. You got the number. Dial it like Tom in Detroit did. Let's say good morning to Tom, and thanks for punching in this morning, my friend. How are you today?
I'm well, Tony. How about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Boy, and you were busy as a bee over the weekend, weren't you?
Yeah. That's all right. Better to be wanted than not wanted.
Yeah, you know, fame has its price. I understand. But anyway, you know, I wanted to talk about this right-to-work situation. I'm watching Chuck Stokes on Spotlight on the news, and he had former state representative Jack Hogendyke on there.
Oh,
and, you know, he was talking about back when he introduced that, whatever how long ago that was, and kind of like how it was shot down. And now and then, after it was over, I turned to a Flashpoint with Devin Scillian, and he had the governor on there. And, you know, he asked Snyder, he said, well, listen, if this thing is, you know, brought up, you know, and it comes across your desk, will you sign it? And he kind of goes, well, you know, it's not on my
agenda. Well, you know what, Tom, hold that thought. Stay right where you're at. Stay right where you're at. Guys, play that audio.
Welcome back to Flashpoint. My conversation this morning with Governor Snyder, talking about the ramifications of where we were on the proposals, even though things largely went your way. You have said time and time again you're really not interested in watching Michigan take up the right-to-work fight. Some people felt like Proposal 2 was, people on the right-to-work side, that they were being provoked into a right-to-work fight, and it is almost a certainty that you're going to end up with right-to-work legislation in front of you. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not sure it is a certainty, because, again, I think there are legislators out there that are concerned about this issue also. So that's part of the dialogue and discussion they need to have. What Proposal 2 was, it was a massive overreach. Again, I didn't view it wasn't about collective bargaining to me. It was a massive overreach into our Constitution and laws, and that's what I read into it. It's simply what it said and what it would have done. I still believe in collective bargaining. I'm going to plan to go forward. And right to work is a divisive issue. I did talk to people and ask people not to go forward with this proposal because I said it could stir the pot in terms of provoking other groups and other people to say they want to make an issue of it. And again, they decide to go ahead, so this is not unexpected, but I'm trying to be fairly consistent here to say it's a divisive issue. And
as the de facto leading Republican in the state, are you urging your GOP brethren not to bring right to work to you?
Well, I've been consistent for 3 years. And
you don't want it. But
I'm continuing my position. I view this was a issue on overreaching in our Constitution. It got decided. It got decided in the correct direction, in my view. And I'm saying I'm not going to change my position or how I'm managing my view on right to work at all because of that event. So I'm simply staying with
it. But if it comes to you, what do you do?
It's not on my agenda. It's not something I've been seeking to show up on my desk.
I'm trying, Governor.
You're doing your job fine.
You're doing my job. I know.
All right, Tom, there you go. That's the exchange you were referencing.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was watching that, you know, as you heard Scillian laugh and, you know, Snyder also laughed, but, you know, just about anything that has come across his desk, except for some of this voter suppression stuff, he inked it, okay? He signed the thing. And I believe that if, you know, God forbid, that if it, you know, them clowns up in Lansing decide to go ahead and push it when it comes across his desk, you know, Governor Snyder's going to sign it. And, you know, and the thing is, I mean, unions have been, my word here, it's been a blessing to the working people. I mean, it established an 8-hour workday, got people benefits, got them a pension, and, you know, safety and occupational health rules, and all the other 9 yards that goes along with it. I mean, to me, if there was no union, Henry Ford would still be paying people $5 a day. And, I mean, I'm serious about that. And I just think that this is the worst kind of stuff that could even happen. Even if the, you know, those who are in the legislature up there, I wonder how many of those men and women who would sign this thing in a manner of speaking, not manner of speaking, but came from a union household.
Well, many of them. You know, Tom, we stop and you know, you've heard me speak on a couple of occasions. I often wonder out loud if Republicans have mothers or have ever had a teacher.
Yeah.
If they've ever, you know, known a union member, because they act as if these are inconsequential, insignificant people in their lives. Mm-hmm. And of course, they've helped shape their lives.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to say this and I'm going to go. If this thing goes down and you know, the Republicans up there and the legislature puts this thing through, folks, remember the midterm elections. Send those folks packing. Because, I mean, to me, that's one of the worst things that could happen here in the state of Michigan.
Well, Tom, thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking the call.
You bet. You'll remember that Joe DeSano on Friday said very clearly that if somebody, if they continue to pursue right to work, and it ends up on the House floor, on the Senate floor, that there will be a flurry of recalls that will take place at that point. Over 70% of the people in Michigan support collective bargaining. They just didn't support it as a constitutional amendment. 70% is a pretty big number. It is a pretty big number. And there is, and we'll get into this in the next hour. There is foundationally no good reason to establish a right to work for less law here in the state of Michigan. Absolutely none. None. Zero. And we'll get to that. Again, we're gonna go with facts. David Hecker actually started this Thursday morning at 8 o'clock when he said, "Research, research, research." Well, we've done our research. We've done our research. We know what we're talking about. We know what needs to be done. We know what doesn't need to be done. And I think that Governor Snyder has put himself in a really bad situation. I've got a 10-second video, audio clip, that we're going to play for you a little bit later on in the show. In case you were wondering, because we keep on saying, you know, Governor Snyder never says that he won't sign it. Oh, there's a reason for that. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. You're just going to have to wait for it. But it's coming. It's coming. It's bad news. It's just bad news. And I'm glad that we're going to focus so much over the next couple of weeks. I'm not unoptimistic. I guess that's a way of saying I'm not pessimistic. That we may end up not having anything but a discussion about right to work. But even the discussion should be enough to make you nervous. Now, you're going to need, if it happens, you're going to need to fight. We're going to need to get out there. We're going to need to put on our winter coats and our winter hats and our winter gloves and go kick some winter butt. I mean, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. So if we're told we're needed here, we need to go. We need to go. We need to show up. We are the army. We are the only army we have. We have each other. And that's all we have. And that's enough. It is enough. All right, a quick break here. For the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the water levels in the Great Lakes. We'll take a look at Right to Work. Mark Brewer, Christine Berry coming up a little bit later on. Lots of good stuff, including perhaps some good news for veterans who might like a manufacturing job. Yep, we've got our focus in the right place on this Thanksgiving holiday week. A quick break here. First Shift will continue after the top of the hour news.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
There's not much to report so far this morning out on the roadways, except for the fact that there is heavy, heavy fog. In some areas, zero visibility, so please drive with caution this morning. And there's road construction, which has your right lane closed, I-75 northbound before Dearborn Street, exit 44. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
The one and only Honey Baked, where one-of-a-kind Thanksgivings are made. And with Thanksgiving just around the corner, you only have 2 more days to reserve your delicious ham or turkey online. It only takes a moment with Honey Baked's convenient online reservations. To make your reservation and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your first ship weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. Death toll rises in Gaza. NBC's Stephanie Gosk says Israel is ramping up attacks on Hamas targets, while Hamas-led Palestinian fighters continue to fire rockets into Israel.
The fighting has continued at a fevered pitch over the weekend and into today. You see a broadening of the Israeli forces' tactics going after now residences of Hamas leaders.
President Obama says Israel has the right to defend itself, but he's urging against a ground assault in Gaza. The president, touring Southeast Asia, praising Myanmar's steps toward democracy. He's the first U.S. president to visit the country, also known as Burma. Word that Hostess Brands is closing up shop has prompted a run on Twinkies, the iconic snack going for up to $50 a box on eBay and Craigslist. And the finale of the Twilight Saga brightened the box office, Breaking Dawn Part 2 raking in $141 million despite mixed reviews. Skyfall second at $42 million. Lincoln was third at $21. This is NBC News Radio. Christmas in November, more retail chains plan to get a head start on those year-end sales, opening their doors on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. CNBC's Courtney Reagan.
This year, holiday sales are expected to rise just over 4%, well below last year's 5.6% gain. Stores are offering bigger promotions and ever earlier opening hours to get customers in the door.
Americans are flashing the plastic again. TransUnion says the average credit card debt grew nearly 5% in the third quarter. Two new safety studies on our driving habits. The good news, more Americans are buckling up. 86% wear seatbelts. Another study shows we'll need them. More people are texting or surfing the web while they're driving. And are you ready for caffeinated Cracker Jack? The latest way to get a caffeine buzz is a new twist on the popcorn candy that offers power bites with as much caffeine in every serving as a cup of coffee. Name of the product, Cracker Jacked. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
This holiday, make laughter.
Oh, baby. Oh, my.
Make goosebumps.
Our first Christmas.
Make memories. Make holiday magic at Zazzle.com. At Zazzle, a few simple clicks is all it takes to make a gift just for them. From playing cards to posters, iPhone covers to throw pillows, there's something for everyone. Choose your gift and then customize with colors, photos, art, messages, and more. Visit Zazzle.com today and save 15% plus get free shipping when you enter code HOLIDAYMAGIC.
On this week, packed with reports on the housing market, including existing home sales a bit later this morning, we have strong news from a housing indicator of another sort. Lowe's Home Improvement reports a third quarter profit that almost doubled results from a year ago on a restructuring of its own operations, but also an improving housing market. Sales beat forecasts for Lowe's. The news comes almost a week after rival Home Depot also posted a strong increase in earnings. It appears more people who shopped at Lowe's and elsewhere bought more stuff using credit cards. This morning, TransUnion says credit card balances increased almost 5% last quarter as we bought more, but also as we paid less of our balances off. In fact, the number of people 90 days or more behind on payments is rising again. Rising our stock futures, analysts say, as more investors hope for a fiscal cliff avoidance deal out of Washington. S&P futures right now gaining 8.5 points. NASDAQ futures up 16. Dow futures rising 66. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
This Thanksgiving and Black Friday, unwrap huge savings from Sprint. Save $150 on an unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3. The ultimate way to connect, capture, and share, now for only $49.99. Visit your Sprint store on Black Friday or beat the rush Thursday and Friday at Sprint.com.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 19th day of November 2012. Happy Thanksgiving as we have a holiday shortened week, and I hope you do as well. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit later on in this hour. Too many people working on the holidays anymore. What happened to those days? When I was a kid, nobody worked holidays, and I mean nobody. You were stuck with your family, damn it. Those were the days. Anyway, welcome back. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, we had seen recently an article on MLive.com. The headline reads, as Great Lakes approach historic lows, water experts say conservation is in Michigan's future. Well, what are the ramifications of that? What does historic lows mean? And I have lots of other questions, so we turn our attention now to my next guest. Joining us now is Keith Kompoltowicz. Keith is a meteorologist with the Army Corps of Engineers, and he was kind enough to get up early and talk to us about this critically important issue. And Keith, good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Same to you.
What do historic lows mean? I mean, when we talk about the Great Lakes water levels being low, how low are they?
Well, it depends on each individual lake. Lake Superior, for example, is about 13 inches below its long-term average for the month of November. Moving on to Lakes Michigan and Huron, they are both about 28 inches below their long-term average. And Lake St. Clair, Lake Erie, and Lake Ontario are anywhere from 6 to 13 inches below their long-term average for this time of year. So we're certainly below average across the board on all the Great Lakes.
Well, now, obviously, as we're taking a look at that, 28 inches seems drastic, radical. Not that 13 inches doesn't, not that 6 isn't, but 28 inches, that'll get your attention.
Yep, on Lakes Michigan here, on it seems to have gathered the most attention, especially because of the threat of new record lows We certainly haven't set any record lows as of yet, and it's looking like we'll remain slightly above the all-time record low for the month of November. But as we get into the rest of the winter, into December, January, and February, there is the chance for lower water levels for those months than we have ever seen in the recorded history.
And Keith, that's as a result of precipitation?
It's a combination of things. Precipitation is just one component. You also have to look at runoff from all the rivers and streams that feed the lakes, as well as evaporation from the lake surface. This year, going back to the winter, we had very little snow across the Great Lakes Basin, so the runoff from that snowmelt that feeds the lakes and streams that feed the Great Lakes was very much lower than average. Then we had a very hot and very dry summer, and then heading into the fall with the very warm water temperatures, we're seeing quite a bit more evaporation than normal.
All right, and I'm going to try to be a little bit optimistic here. If we are only approaching record lows, that means we've been here before and we rebounded, right?
Right. The record lows on Lakes Michigan and Huron occurred in the 1960s, 1964 to be exact, and then about a decade later in the mid-1970s were the record highs, and then again in the 1980s we set record highs. So we are not yet outside of any range where we've been before. But that's not to say that every 10 years or so you get a rebound. It's just looking back at history, we have been this low before, and then we have rebounded to record highs following that.
All right. And again, there's no guarantee that we'll end up back there. I guess we should bring up those two dreaded words, global warming. Is it real, in your opinion, and is this a contributing factor to what's happening in the Great Lakes?
Well, because we haven't set any record lows yet, we're still within our recorded range. It's just a sign that the climate is variable. We have times where we've seen several months in a row of very wet, very weather that's conducive to having Great Lakes water levels rise. And then recently we've had conditions, very dry conditions, very warm conditions that tend to cause water levels to decline. But it's just how variable the climate is. We really don't have enough information yet to say that definitively that there is a climate change regime going on.
All right, and I appreciate you're trying to be optimistic too, so I appreciate that, Keith. I truly do. Let's talk about, though, some of the dangers. If the water levels get too low, what are some of the dangers with that happening?
Well, I guess it depends on your point of view. I mean, obviously, people that use the lakes for navigation, commercial shippers, they have to be very mindful of how much cargo they're putting on their vessel, as access to certain harbors and certain channels might be limited. For the recreational boater, there might be areas that they used to be able to access easily in their boat, but now because levels are lower, there's a submerged structure, an obstruction there that wouldn't allow them to access. Beachfront property owners are going to see much more beach, and whether that is what they want or if they want the water lapping right up against their dock, you know, that's in the eye of the beholder.
Well, and so I guess the reverse of that is if the water levels get too high, is there a danger there as well?
Yep. When we have high water levels, most recently we had a period of high water in the mid to late 90s. There was lots of concern over erosion, and especially on the Lake Michigan side, of structures falling into the lake because of significant erosion of the shoreline.
Okay, and so it's one of those things where darned if you do and darned if you don't, but at some level, and I again want to stress this, Keith, that we are still within norms. We have not reached record lows. We are not near record highs, and so it's something, and I guess that actually brings up another question. Why are we even having this discussion? Are we that close to record lows where we need to be mindful of it? Because there's really nothing we can do about it, is there?
Right, yeah. We've forecasted the possibility of record lows on Lakes Michigan and Huron for the past couple of months. We issue a forecast near the beginning of each month that goes out 6 months. So if not for a wetter-than-average October, we likely would have set a record low for the month of October on Lakes Michigan and Huron. Because of that wet October, our forecasts were adjusted up a little bit, and the latest look at things now shows that maybe January would be the first month that we would actually set a new record low. But again, a lot can happen between now and January. We could have another wet month occur in December that would tend to shift things a little higher. But again, if the opposite happens and we have very dry conditions, then the threat for record lows even becomes more realistic.
Well, obviously, as we go back to the conversation you just shared with us about shipping, I mean, that's a serious concern. And I would think that people that are a whole lot smarter than I am understand how to navigate the waters when there are record lows. I would guess that there's a science to this. I don't think they're guessing at it. Technology certainly has improved, but I can see where that really could cause an economic domino effect as well, Keith.
Yep, you see, when levels are low, they don't have the capacity to fill their boat full. So they end up having to make more trips to deliver the same amount. And more trips means they have to spend more money to get the cargo from one place to another.
Okay. Well, and again, that just all makes sense. And is there, a central website or somewhere we can go to get updates on this stuff? We just happened to see this article. That's how it came to our
attention. Yeah, absolutely. Our water level webpage, that's the Corps of Engineers Detroit District webpage, we have daily updates of water levels. We have automated reports that run every morning that give you the up-to-date lake-wide mean water level for all the Great Lakes. We put all of our forecasts up on the website. And you can get to that website at www.lre.usace.army.mil/GLHH. You can get all of the Great Lakes information you ever wanted from that location.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you to give that out one more time.
Yep, no problem. It's www.lre.usace.army.mil/GLHH.
GLHH. All right, we're going to get that up on the Facebook page for everybody, because I know that certainly the environmentalists are going to be concerned about this. Those that, of course, deal with trade and traffic are going to want to certainly keep an eye on the water levels. And, you know, this also affects, I mean, we're talking about the Great Lakes, but this also affects the inland lakes as well, does it not, Keith?
Yeah, and the Corps really focuses its attention on the Great Lakes, though we are aware of changes in water tables of inland lakes, but the Corps really focuses its attention on the water levels of the Great Lakes.
Do we need, very quickly before we have to get to break, do we need legislation at this point, or is this just something to keep an eye on for right now?
Right now the Corps will keep an eye on it as we are authorized to do, and if something changes where an authorization is given that we can study something or make a change to something, we will certainly do that.
All right. Keith Kompoltowicz, thank you so much for being with us today. This was a great conversation, and we're certainly going to keep an eye on this. We're probably going to reach back out to you in the very near future, Keith.
Sounds great. Be happy to help.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too.
You bet. Let's take a quick break here. Open lines on the other side, but what I really want to talk about, I'm going to finish up my conversation on this, but the holidays, Thanksgiving, should we really be worried about getting in line before we have dinner? Let's have a talk. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
I-696 westbound at the I-96, I-275, M-5 junction. There's an accident on the ramp to I-275 southbound. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-94 westbound between Harper Ave and 12 Mile Road. And more slow-moving traffic, I-96 eastbound between Wixom Road and Beck Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56. And partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy in 33. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Welcome back. So the question, our Facebook poll question today, First Shift poll question today, is a simple one. Do you believe that all stores should be closed on Thanksgiving Day? And I put all. That would be gas stations. That would be grocery stores. That would be everything. Should they be closed on Thanksgiving Day? Now, I said earlier on in the show, when I was a kid, but it's true. When I was a kid, you know, the honest to God truth is, you couldn't go anywhere on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day. You weren't going to the store. You weren't getting gas. You had to get it done on Wednesday. And it was a day for family, dedicated for family, dedicated to travel if you were traveling or to preparing if that's what you were doing. And, you know, now I look at my own family and my sister's partner probably will not be there because she has to work that afternoon. And so a lot of stores, including Walmart and Target and others, are going to be open at some point, if not all day long. We know our grocery stores are open on holidays now, which is wrong. And this isn't even, these aren't even religious. It's familial issues that I'm concerned about. It's about spending time with family. You know, there are some families that only see each other during the holidays, whether that be Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day or somewhere in between that or New Year's Day. But here we are, you know, and listen, if there weren't a need for it, that's the other part of this. If there weren't a need for it, they wouldn't do it. Well, they need the money. And what they decided some years back is, it might take a while to get people in the door. Well, it didn't take that long. People, unfortunately, will get in line and do that stupid, you know, stand in line for 5 hours to buy that one gift that sells out in the first 7 minutes the store's open, and then they start issuing rain checks where it says right on the rain check, you may get a comparable item, but maybe not that what you were looking for. Is that bait and switch at some level? I mean, we can take this to a lot of different places, but at the end of the day, it's supposed to be this holiday, all holidays are really supposed to be about being with family, about, you know, Thanksgiving, giving thanks, remembering, reminding, coming together in thoughtful prayer, and yes, having a meal to celebrate what was celebrated years ago. And we now know that, you know, it's just become so commonplace for that, you know, they don't even call it Black Thursday. You've got the Black Friday thing, but, you know, Black Friday now starts Thursday. I don't know. To me, it's just wrong. Is it just me? Or, you know, and we've got the poll question up. Let me see. I didn't even check it. Most people are saying yes, stores should be closed. Family should come first. One person has voted, doesn't matter to me either way. Nobody's marked off no yet. Yet. And, you know, there's going to be, because people have a way of politicizing. This is, to me, is not a political issue. And I don't think we need to create a law banning stores from being open. If a store wants to be open and they can staff that store, then go for it. Good for you. But shouldn't it be more than just about the almighty dollar? I mean, they've been showing Christmas commercials basically since the beginning of September. And people wonder why we get sick of holidays when we do, because we just seem to, especially the Christmas holiday. Christmas holiday seems to be an 8-week holiday now. And Thanksgiving is the big kickoff day. We've got Black Friday, then we've got Cyber Monday. Anything else we can, you know, I'm sure they'll figure out another day to dedicate and name it cleverly. I don't know. I feel bad for those families, especially for those that have to work, that don't get a chance to spend time with their family. Somebody a few years back, when I was doing another incarnation of radio, said, you know, I was talking about the Lions playing on Thanksgiving. Well, you hypocrite. Those people are working. Yes, they are. They are. They absolutely are working. And it's part of my tradition. And I wish they weren't working, because if they weren't on, I wouldn't watch them. Neither would you. That's not the point. We've now expanded it, and now pretty much you can get anything you need on Thanksgiving Day. And Thanksgiving is actually, I think, the easier of the two major holidays. I'm talking about Christmas and Thanksgiving Day. I think it's a little emotionally easier. I mean, there are some families that are just dysfunctional. Every time they get together, there's going to be some crap that goes down. I get that. But it is different emotionally, spiritually, physically than Christmas. Christmas has a lot more baggage attached to it than Thanksgiving does. It just does. And who doesn't like a well-seasoned, well-baked-off turkey, sliced just so, with all the trappings that go with it? You know, we do. We bring cookies. We bring desserts. We bring the mashed potatoes. You know, we're going to have all that stuff, the stuffing. We're going to have all that stuff, and, you know, and then it's about being together, and then it should be about hanging out for a while, and then going home and relaxing, or whatever it is you want to do. But no, it's now about, gee, what times does Kohl's open? I can go to Target at this time. And there are people that put, like, this battle plan in action. You know, that'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning for those stores that don't open at midnight. And they'll sit out in the cold on blankets or on sleeping bags waiting for the doors to open. For what? For what? to get an extra 20 cents off something, or I don't, it just, to me, this is not what our holidays are supposed to be like. But it is what it is. It is what it is. So we will deal with it. Of course we will. It makes me sad that people can't be together because they have to work. I'm curious, very quickly, because we're up against a break. If anybody, 888-552-3595, I should have asked this at the top. Anybody that works on Thanksgiving Day, tell me what the customers are like. That's the other thing. Are they even appreciative that they're open, or are they demanding and rude and crude? I wouldn't even think about going into a store on Thanksgiving Day. Wouldn't think about doing it. But I'd be really interested to hear what the customers like on a major holiday like Thanksgiving. I'm guessing, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb too much, that people are cold and demanding and a lot of maintenance. And if you ever have served the public, you know that they can be that way on a good day. In the middle of September where there's no holiday, or the middle of April, you know, after Easter, there's no holiday. You know, people can be really damaging. They can. I mean, you know, people can be very rude. It's wrong. All right. Right to work. We come back, we're going to talk about the reality of right to work for less. And we need to start referencing it in that way, because it is a right to work for less. And, again, no one wants it. So why are we even having the discussion? Well, the Republicans have forced the discussion. So we have to fight the fight. I'm showing up. Are you? 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Truppiano. Ross Eisenbray, when we continue from the Economic Policy Institute. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Slow moving traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. Also slow moving traffic, I-75 southbound between Rochester Road and 11 Mile Road. And some more backups, M53 southbound between 23 Mile Road and Van Dyke Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Occupy Wall Street has taken on a major relief effort called Occupy Sandy in the wake of the superstorm that hit the East Coast October 28th. WIN's Melinda Tuhus visited a low-income high-rise in Far Rockaway in the borough of Queens on a thin strip of land between Jamaica Bay and the Atlantic Ocean.
Sabrina Jackson lives in Ocean Village, a complex with 11 buildings and several hundred residents. Heat and power are slowly returning, though by midweek she still had neither and was told it may be Thanksgiving before she does.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Are you serious? We're supposed to have family, friends over to your apartment, to your homes, with lights, warmth. That's love. This right here is sad. It's depressing.
Jackson says the Red Cross has been by once or twice with hot food and blankets. FEMA has distributed applications for reimbursement for losses suffered in the storm, and the National Guard knocked on every door to check on residents. But Occupy Sandy has an ongoing presence, coordinating with local residents to distribute emergency supplies. Jackson is the coordinator for her complex. Volunteers move around a large room divided into sections for non-perishable food, clothing, disposable diapers, toiletry items, batteries, and more, filling requests from residents for specific items. Jackson keeps an eye out for residents making too frequent requests for things, which they are likely to sell. Outside St. Jacoby's Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, site coordinator Pablo Benson Silva explains how the operation works.
Our job here is to make sure we match drivers with volunteers and supplies and take it out to different sites that we've opened and the most affected areas. Right now that we're talking about Far Rockaway, Coney Island, Staten Island, Sheepheads Bay.
One of the first volunteers to arrive Monday morning is Dan Lohouse, who lives in Brooklyn and whose day job is working with the underserved. He's on his own time now, though, explaining he got involved about a week ago.
I spent a good week just watching it on TV and then finally got up off the couch and couldn't live with myself anymore. And then ever since I've started, I can't stop now. Now I'm just kind of hooked.
As he moves around the church basement gathering supplies, he says he's headed to Staten Island for the next phase of work.
I'm trying to load up on work gloves, contractor bags, bleach and cleaning supplies, flashlights and batteries. Those seem to be the hot ticket items. I'm also really trying to find crowbars, hammers, stuff to take out the drywall and all the wet stuff.
Melinda Tuhus, Workers Independent News, Brooklyn and Far Rockaway, New York City.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Right to work, or as we call it, right to work for less. No, we did not coin that phrase. Our guest, Ross Eisenbury. Ross is vice president at the Economic Policy Institute and has been with them since 2003. He is a lawyer and former commissioner of the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Prior to joining EPI, he worked for many years as a staff attorney and legislative director in the U.S. House of Representatives and as a committee counsel in the U.S. Senate. Certainly, he has a firm grasp on right to work and all the pratfalls and pitfalls that comes with it. It is now part of our daily dialogue. Best we turn to the experts. And Ross Eisenbury, I want to welcome you to First Shift on this early Monday morning.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
It is really my pleasure. You know, listen, you've got enough familiarity with what's going on here in Michigan. You know that we had a recent proposal that was voted down on November 6th that would have enshrined the right to collective bargain in our Constitution. That didn't pass. The pro-right to work for less folks immediately came out and started taking that tin cup against the cage of the prison cell, going, right to work, right to work. Ross, let's talk about the reality of what right to work has done in those states where they currently have it.
Well, it's done pretty much what it was intended to do, which is weaken unions. The states that first got it were the states in the Deep South who passed right to work in the years after the Taft-Hartley Act. Passed in 1947, Congress gave the states the right to pass right to work laws, and the ones that did were states like Mississippi, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, etc. So they did, and ever since then, they've had the lowest rates of unionization in the country. That was what it was intended to do, to make it harder for unions to support themselves, to get the dues money that they need to bargain effectively, and it worked. The other thing that you can see pretty clearly from the data is that it's kept wages lower, and you know that just sort of follows. Unions, everybody knows that the purpose of a union is to help workers bargain collectively and get a better deal from their employers. And when unions are weaker, they're less able to do that. And so in right-to-work states, the net result is that people end up with lower wages, about $1,500 lower on average than in the states that don't have right-to-work laws.
Well, you know, again, these are all facts. These are not opinion. These are facts, Ross. And so as we kind of take a look at this fight, that it seems at this point that it's coming our way, you know, we certainly have an obligation. I don't want to call it a burden because it's not. We have an obligation to educate the audience. Obviously, this is something that you you do a lot of education efforts. What arguments or what positions seem to resonate best with people that don't quite understand what a disaster right to work could mean for them?
Well, you know, there are a lot of studies on both sides of this issue, and groups like the Mackinac Center and the Chamber of Commerce have been basically reproducing the same study all around the country that they claim shows that you get higher growth, you get lower unemployment, you get better per capita income, that life just is better if you have a right-to-work law. And if you do a non-scientific study, you can get pretty much any results you want. And so they've done this study over and over again, and then they trot it out and they say, see, you're better off in a right-to-work state. But if you actually do good economics and you hold constant all the things that you would have to hold constant in determining whether a state economy is being affected by right to work or whether it's being affected by, you know, all of the other things that are possible, like the levels of education of the workers, what kind of transportation infrastructure does it have, what are the real estate costs, the taxes, the natural resources, you know, then you get a different result. So, like North Dakota, not that many people would want to move to North Dakota, but it's got very low unemployment. And it is a right-to-work state. And so, you know, you could get an argument that says, see, it's because of right-to-work. But, in fact, the reason it has low unemployment is because it has an oil and gas boom. And, you know, it's been creating all kinds of jobs extracting natural resources in the last few years, and so it's doing very well. On the other hand, you've got states like South Carolina and North Carolina that are right-to-work states that have terrible unemployment, and Nevada is a right-to-work state. It has the worst unemployment in the nation at 11.8%. So, if you sort of cherry pick and look at, well, see, look at that state. It's got right-to-work. It's doing better. You can make it seem that right-to-work is a good thing, but if you actually are careful and you look all around the country, you see that right-to-work doesn't make any difference at all, except in terms of lower wages.
Yeah, this is mind-boggling stuff for a variety of reasons, and certainly as we take a look at what we are seeing happen in the workplace, if we look at income disparity, Ross Eisenbray, and this should be part of, I think, our dialogue. And if you need to correct me on anything, you don't be afraid to do that. But as we look at income discrepancies and disparities, you know, we see that we've got record amount of corporate profits, yet we don't see that the average hourly wage is going up in an exponential amount. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it is fair. I'm just saying that without that union challenge, without the ability to go in and collective bargain, we take away that power, then we will, I think, continue to see the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And Ross, I'm not, again, these are not figures I'm guessing at. These are figures that I'm just reporting that the agencies that are nonpartisan are putting out.
Yeah, no, it's you're absolutely right that over about the last 35 years, there has just been a steady growth in national income. It's rises at about 2.5% per year, 3% per year national income and GDP. And so over that period, you should have, you know, like a doubling of national, of everybody's income. But in fact, what's happened is that working people have seen their income stagnate. It's just been pretty much flat, a small increase for the average person, for the median worker, the worker at the 50 percentile in terms of income, whereas people at the very top, the top 2%, their income has skyrocketed. It's gone up, you know, 240% over that same period. So you say, well, what happened? You know, what changed? Why were we growing kind of equally until the late 1970s? And since then, all of this income growth has been going to people at the top and just bypassing average working people. And, you know, there are a number of explanations. One is globalization. Another very important one is the decline in unionization, that we went from 30% and 35% unionization rates. You know, a state like Michigan back in the late 70s had about 40% of the workforce was unionized. And now it's declined to the point that in the private sector, it's only 7% union. So collective bargaining strength has just been falling steadily at the same time. I mean, at the exact, you know, in parallel with this giant increase in inequality and the shift of income from average people, average working people, to the top 2%.
Mm. Well, you know, God, there's just so many different places I want to go with this. Let's for a moment, again, deal with some of the myths. One, when we've talked about some of this, but maybe go into a little more detail, the relationship between right to work and economic growth. Again, I'm calling it a myth because it is a myth. There's no data to back that up. And in fact, we see in a lot of states where they have right to work, that it takes more than one job in order to make ends meet. And that's, we're not seeing that in non-right-to-work states. That doesn't seem like economic growth to me.
Well, you know, you get these arguments all the time. But New Hampshire last year and the year before was having a fight over right-to-work. And the Chamber of Commerce said the same thing. They said, well, you'll get faster growth, your per capita income will be higher if you have right to work. Well, then the other side of the fight, the union side of the fight, said, wait a minute, do you want to be in New Hampshire? Do you want to have the per capita income of Mississippi? Do you want to, you know, which was 50 in the nation? You know, do you want right to work wages like Georgia and Alabama? And people started looking more carefully at it, and they said, hell no. You know, we're much better off in New Hampshire. We've got a better education system. Our wages are higher. Our per capita income is higher. There was no contest.
No, there is no contest, and I'm hoping you can stay with us. We need to get to a break, but you know, certainly we know that, that under collective bargaining, that not only do wages in those in the union go up, but those, of course, that are not in the union go up. I mean, that commensurate relationship has been a pretty neat one for many, many years now.
Right, and the best place to see that effect is in the auto industry, where if it were left up to Toyota and Honda and Nissan, they would be paying wages of $8 and $10 an hour. But they couldn't do that for decades. You know, ever since they first built plants in the U.S., they couldn't do that because they had to compete for workers with the big three, and which was unionized. And so they ended up paying approximately the same wages.
Absolutely. Ross Eisenbray, my guest with the Economic Policy Institute. We're talking right to work. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. We need to get to the break. We'll be back.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at 7-Eleven, Planet Fitness, Rite Aid, and your local retailers.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Well, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We've got a lot to get to. My guest, Ross Eisenberry, Vice President with the Economic Policy Institute. We're talking about right to work or right to work for less. And Ross, you know, one of the questions that certainly comes to mind is when we start talking about comparisons and research and facts is, you know, are we comparing apples to apples? Certainly a Michigan economy is going to be different than an Alabama economy. Alabama economy is going to be somewhat different than a Florida economy, which is going to be different than a Connecticut economy. Are we really comparing apples to apples here?
Well, it's a difficult thing. You're absolutely right. The best comparisons are probably regional comparisons, because the difference between the southwestern desert states and New England, you know, could hardly be bigger. The difference between Hawaii and North Carolina, you know, is gigantic. So it's very hard to separate out the effects of all the different things that make up the economy. So to control for everything requires a lot of data, and it requires a very careful analysis. You have to, you know, figure out things like, what's the transportation infrastructure? How good is the school system? Things like, what's the weather? I mean, it really makes a difference in terms of the economy. For a long time, the South was benefiting because it's warmer, you know, and people were moving down. Population growth all by itself leads to a greater economic growth. The more people you have, the bigger your economy is going to be, by and large. So all of those things have to be taken into account. And when you just look at the states that are next to each other, close to each other, the ones that have the economies that are closest to each other, you see that there's really no pattern. It doesn't make any difference. New Mexico is a free bargaining, non-right-to-work state. Its unemployment rate is about 6.8%. Arizona is right-to-work, right next to it, another desert state with an unemployment rate around 8%. Idaho is right-to-work. Montana isn't. Idaho has higher unemployment than Montana. The same thing's true, you know, in Ohio versus Indiana. Now, Michigan versus Indiana, Michigan has a higher unemployment rate. So the simple comparison that people want to make just doesn't hold up very well. You have to look at much deeper into the economy to try to parse out the effect of something like right to work or any particular law. Right to work just really doesn't have a very big effect on economic decision making by employers. What the only thing that it really affects is unionization, and then by the effect of declining unionization, it has an effect on wages and benefits.
Which
but
of
when
course
companies
hasn't.
Make when companies make location decisions, the surveys show that right to work doesn't show up in the first 10 things that they're looking at. Surveys show there's one by Area Development Magazine that showed that it was the 14th factor that they considered. I mean, they a long list of things before they ever even considered right to work.
Well, I would think one of the things they're going to consider is going to be something you've discussed. They'll consider transportation, infrastructure, education, what's the public school system. Like a lot of things that will become before... is this a right to work state? And we both know that to be foundationally true. And as we take a look at what has, challenged us, I think that one of the things that the union movement, organized labor, has successfully been able to convey, if people are paying attention, that during a very difficult economy, they were willing to work with management. Ultimately, they understood the reality of the economic conditions, Ross Eisenbray, that we were facing. And they didn't come after management with unrealistic expectations because, frankly, that would have killed them quicker than right to work ever would have.
Well, and you're a lot closer to this than I am because you're in Michigan, but my sense is that the auto industry right now is reinvesting in Michigan in a big way. Ohio's gotten the benefit of that, I guess, so far more than Michigan has, but Ohio's a non-right-to-work state, too, and its unemployment rate has fallen to about 7%, and factories, auto factories are working three shifts, and things are finally coming back.
Yep, absolutely. Let's quickly go to the phone and welcome Steve and Monroe to First Shift. Steve, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air with Ross Eisenbray.
Good morning, Ross. Good morning, Tony. I think you can look at the bigger picture, and the unions basically brought the textile industry to its knees, the steel industry to its knees, put two auto companies into bankruptcy, and now you got Hostess that's going bankrupt and 19,000 union jobs are being lost. There's another side to this, too, and unions aren't all good. They're not all good. There's a lot of bad to them, too, and people are seeing that, and that's why you see a decline over the decades of unionization.
Well, but Steve,
let me say this about the textile industry. It was largely non-union, so that's one of the... I have to say that's kind of a dumb argument. The textile industry was way more non-union than union, and it still went down. It wasn't because of unionization. It was because of low-cost competition from China and India and the third world. So, that's a bad argument.
Steve, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. But, at the same time, we can even take a look at the unions didn't, the unions certainly, Ross, were not responsible for the fall off in the auto industry. The whole Hostess story, which we don't have time to get into now, has absolutely nothing to do with what unions did. Oftentimes, and he's right, we do have to take a look at both sides, and we certainly have to take a look at the decisions management makes. And as we have been reminded many, many times on this program, there are two signatures, well, sometimes many more than two, but there are two signatures on a collective bargaining agreement, management and labor. So don't put it all on unions. If management agreed to it, and then they didn't have the foresight to protect that investment. Your workforce is an investment. If you don't have the foresight to protect that investment, shame on you as management. That's why managers get fired. That's why CEOs get fired. But here's the difference. A CEO gets fired, he gets a $15, $20, $60 million paycheck for screwing up a company. How is that the union's fault? It's not. Majority of union workers, my brothers and sisters, get up every single day and go to work and do their job. Okay, we lost our guest, unfortunately, but we're out of time as well. So we will make sure we reconnect with him and say goodbye. In the meantime, Right to Work is something that we will continue to talk about today and in the upcoming days. And until this conversation is retired, you can count on me to fight the good fight. Chairman Mark Brewer on the other side. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Slow moving traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. Also slow moving traffic, I-75 southbound between Rochester Road and 11 Mile Road. And some more backups, M53 southbound between 23 Mile Road and Van Dyke Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
You love that one-of-a-kind taste of honey-baked ham. But have you tasted their turkey breast? With a new recipe and the sweet, crunchy glaze you love, their honey-baked turkey breast could be the beginning of a brand-new holiday tradition. For coupons and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Upping the ante, the five-day conflict between Israel and Gaza's Hamas-led Palestinians becomes bloodier by the hour as civilian casualties soar. NBC's Richard Engel.
It is not a good time to be a Hamas military leader here in the Gaza Strip. They are being systematically picked off, killed in their homes, in their cars, on motorcycles. Many have gone into hiding.
President Obama says Israel has the right to defend itself, but he's urging against a ground assault in Gaza. The president has arrived in Cambodia for the East Asia Summit, final leg of his Southeast Asia tour. Blame it in part on the fiscal cliff. The Wall Street Journal reports businesses are scaling back investment plans at the fastest pace since the recession, blaming fiscal and economic uncertainty. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a higher open. And Americans are flashing the plastic. TransUnion says the average credit card debt grew nearly 5% in the third quarter. Not surprisingly, overdue payments up sharply as well. This is NBC News Radio. Is it twilight time for Twinkies? Even as Hostess liquidates, analysts say it's likely the iconic brands such as Twinkies and Ding Dongs will live again under new management. Although a good many health advocates are saying good riddance. NBC's Mara Schiavacampo.
Later today, Hostess will have a hearing before a bankruptcy judge to begin the work of shutting down and selling off its assets. That includes everything from manufacturing equipment to the brands themselves. It's all up for grabs.
Walmart is warning its workers not to stage protests on Black Friday. The world's biggest retailer says store employees scheduled to work during the Christmas rush are expected to do their jobs. Some workers protesting the early openings say they want better pay and working conditions. And the sun has set on the Twilight franchise, but not before another blockbuster opening. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2, raking in $141 million over the weekend, proof that it pays for filmmakers to twi again. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
This Thanksgiving and Black Friday, unwrap huge savings from Sprint. Save $150 on an unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, the ultimate way to connect, capture, and share, now for only $49.99. Visit your Sprint store on Black Friday or beat the rush Thursday and Friday at Sprint.com.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. He went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection.
It can only be Jared.
One day only while supplies last. Visit Jared for a Pandora Limited Edition 2012 Precious Gift Charm. Available Friday, November 23rd. See store for details.
As every merchant from Atlantic City to Long Island can tell you, weather can have a strong negative effect on business. This year's big drought in the heartland, the worst in 25 years, means a much higher price of grain. That affects the food chain and the money train. This hour, Tyson Food reports higher than expected third quarter earnings, but it says higher feed costs are eating into profit, and it will pass its higher costs along to you in the form of more expensive meat. Walmart, one of the retailers moving its Black Friday deals to Thursday evening, is now moving another big promotion to another day. For Walmart, Cyber Monday, with the big deals online mostly for items such as tech gadgets, will now begin Saturday of this week. Three full days of trading for Wall Street this week, then off Thanksgiving Day and a half a day of trading Black Friday. That is typically one of the quietest trading days of the entire year. Ahead of that, stock futures look pretty good. S&P futures gaining 7. NASDAQ futures up 15. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
This Thanksgiving and Black Friday, unwrap huge savings from Sprint. Save $150 on an unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3. The ultimate way to connect, capture, and share, now for only $49.99. Visit your Sprint store on Black Friday or beat the rush Thursday and Friday at Sprint.com.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the 19th day of November 2012. Yes, it is Thanksgiving week. The holidays are upon us. For those of you that are out and about, I just checked when I was at the top of the hour break. The fog seems to be lifting, but depending where you're at, it may be still quite heavy. Be careful. Temperatures are hovering around freezing. You want to be very mindful as you head out the door this morning. Of course, those of you that were out early, like I was, it was like driving, literally like driving in a cave. And why the streetlights weren't on today is beyond me, but it is what it is. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. We've got a great hour of radio planned for you, so why don't we go ahead and get started. An intro, please.
the leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan and architect of progressive victory.
That money could have been much better spent keeping teachers employed, keeping police and firefighters employed in this difficult economic time. But what did the Republicans do? Now let's take $10 million and pay for our own private election. We decided a year ago not to do that to the taxpayers of Michigan. And if the parties want to do this kind of process, they should pay for it themselves, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
It is that time again. And joining us now is Chairman Mark Brewer. And, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Morning, Tony. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners as well.
Well, listen, I understand you want to talk about some of the things that you're thankful for, certainly coming off of rather successful November 6th. We have plenty to be thankful for. And although, Mark, we didn't win everything we wanted to win, we certainly did well.
Yeah, no, we did well. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this week things that we should be very thankful for as Democrats. You know, we've had great leadership, Tony, in the state legislature the last couple of years. Rick Hamill and Kate Siegel have done a really terrific job, and they're going to be really challenged now in lame duck, where we see a very conservative agenda, right to work, and other kinds of things being lined up. But I thought it was appropriate to say thank you to them, but also to recognize that Gretchen Whitmer has done an outstanding job, and I think we'll continue to do so in the next couple of years. And the new leader in the State House, Tim Grimmel, whom I've known for some time, county commissioner, former county commissioner out of Oakland County, won leadership election last week to lead the House Democrats, is going to do a great job. And I think people are going to come to know and respect Tim and his leadership. So I thought it was appropriate this Thanksgiving week to start by saying thank you to our legislative leaders, past and future, for the great work that they've done, Tony.
Well, you know, and Mark, we take a look. You know, Tim Grimmel replaced somebody that was starting to lean in the wrong direction. Somebody whose priorities were no longer really representing the district in which he represented. And Tim Grimmel has really been a plus for those in Pontiac and Auburn Hills, those that know Tim well. Know that he's never abandoned his progressive roots. He of course, cares greatly about those in the labor movement, those outside of the labor movement. He cares about those that are in poverty. He cares about those that are doing well. And he seems to have this unusual knack of being able to dialogue with all those constituencies, Mark.
Yeah, no, it's great. He's got a great background. He served on the school board in Rochester Hills, so he understands public education and how important it is. He got elected in what was a challenging election last winter. Your listeners may recall, Tony, it's a Democratic district, we acknowledge, but the election was held on presidential primary day, which means there was a huge Republican turnout. So we worked very closely with Tim to make sure we didn't take that race for granted. He's really a role model for campaigners. He knows that you got to go door to door, that you win these races by working, not by sitting back and doing the kind of stuff that a lot of folks tend to do, unfortunately. So he's a real worker as well, and he understands what it takes to elect, hopefully in the near future, 56 Democrats or more so that we can be in charge of the State House.
Well, let's talk for a minute, Mark, and I'll stay with Tim for just a little longer. You know, we were fortunate to have him on the show the day after he was elected to his leadership post, which begins in January. You know, what does it say about a guy in this kind of political climate that's willing to step up, you know, so that people understand, full disclosure, he's responsible for fundraising for the party. He's responsible for making sure that the right people are recruiting the right kinds of candidates. I mean, there's a lot that gets put on that person's shoulders. And what does it say about a guy that's willing to step up in this climate and do that?
Well, and step up after only a few months in the legislature. That's remarkable, Tony. He has the potential to serve 6 years as Democratic leader, and there's been no Democrat or Republican, for that matter, in the term limits era that has served that, if it comes to pass, will have served that long in a leadership role. And that's the kind of continuity that we need in this era. But again, you know, for somebody like him, a few months in the legislature to step up and offer himself and then persuade his caucus that he should be the leader, I think is a real tribute to Tim's promise. Again, he's done a lot of great things already. He's had a great career in public service, but I think he's got great promise ahead of him as well. So I'm looking forward to working with Tim Grimmel, and I think all of your listeners should be looking forward to his leadership with great anticipation.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. Mark, we also should probably be thankful for, well, we've got a not just the old crop, but a new crop of elected representatives coming in to fight the fight for us.
Yeah, you know, Tony, as I looked at not only those who won, but those who ran and lost but came close in many instances, you can really see the reaction to the excesses of the last couple of years. I mean, we've got educators like Colleen Lamonte, and there's no question that she'd gotten involved because she saw the attacks on public education. We've got first responders like Terry Cochran and Henry Yanez, who are both having to be firefighters, but there are other first responders that said, I want to run, because they've seen what's going on at the local government level, the attacks on public safety. We've got local mayors like Gretchen Driscoll, Otto Saleem, who witnessed firsthand the devastation caused by the misguided budget priorities of the Republicans in Lansing. And so you look at these folks, and they are very well motivated, first of all, in terms of why they're running, to correct a lot of the excesses coming out of Lansing. But they bring a wide variety of experiences, teachers, small business people, first responders. It is a terrific incoming freshman, if I may, fresh woman, fresh person, class on the Democratic side, and we are, again, expecting great things out of them. I've talked with most of them over the last couple of weeks, run into them in various places. They are very excited, eager to get started, and I think this is the kind of new blood, infusion of new energy and ideas that will be very helpful to politics in Lansing.
Absolutely. We've got a caller, so we'll go to the phones. Always welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Patrick in White Lake to First Shift. Patrick, thanks for punching in this morning. You're on the air with Chairman Mark Brewer.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, you know, in 2010 we were redistricted. In this past election we had Democrats or receive more votes for Congress than Republicans, yet we have 9 Republicans in Congress and 5 Democrats. I'm curious if you could comment a little bit about a group called the Legislative Service Bureau, which I guess supports Congress in the state of Michigan, and how are they partisan? How did they talk a little bit about the redistricting process.
All right. Well, Patrick, thanks for your call. Mark, I'm not familiar with the Legislative Service Bureau, so I'll have to say that up front. So I can't comment on that, but certainly we can comment on redistricting, unless, of course, you're familiar with the Legislative Service Bureau.
Well, the LSB is a nonpartisan agency, works for the legislature, that does a lot of the bill drafting and a lot of the technical services. In my experience, they are very good professional people. But obviously, politics determines, you know, what bills get taken up, and that leads back to your caller's question. I mean, there's no question, Tony, we need redistricting reform in this state. 3,200 votes difference separates Democrats from being in the minority next 2 years and being tied. Add a few hundred votes to that, Tony, and we'd be in the majority. Same thing in the Congress. Democrats on November 6th took more votes for Congress than Republicans, significantly more, but we only ended up with one-third of the seats. So why is it that if Democrats get majorities of the votes, they get minorities of the seats? It's because of the way the seats were drawn by the Republicans and bills signed by Snyder. Look, we're not looking for a Democratic gerrymander. We're not looking for a guarantee of a majority. Give us a level playing field in which our candidates can compete, our ideas can compete. And generally, Tony, I think we would do very well. I think we would win majorities in the legislature, win majorities of the congressional delegation. So one of the projects I want to work very hard on the next 2 to 4 years with the membership, with the leadership of the party, is getting significant redistricting reform so that the election returns follow the votes rather than vice versa.
Well, I'd be thankful for that to happen. Mark Brewer, we need to take a quick break, so stay right where you're at. Patrick, thank you for your call. Again, if you want to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. But we do need to take a break here. Mark has lots more things he's thankful for, and we'll get to that when First Shift continues. Stay right where you're at. My guest again, Chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. You're going to find them online at MichiganDems.com. MichiganDems.com. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiano.
There's no question about it, Tony. I always enjoy talking with you and meeting with you and sharing ideas. You do a great service to the community, and we're fortunate to have you on the air.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Fog is causing all sorts of backups this morning. Stop and go traffic, I-75 northbound between 9 Mile and 12 Mile Road. Also, we have stop and go traffic, US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and North Territorial Road. And traffic is moving slow along I-696 westbound between the Lodge and the I-96, I-275, M5 junction. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your first ship weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. We are going to go back to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with Chairman Brewer.
Good morning, and congratulations, everybody. We won big on Election Day, but I want to say that the people's vote to defeat Republic Act 4, the dictator law, was a victory against the Republicans and for the Democratic Party in this state. And the we need to claim this for the Democratic Party. The Democratic legislators need to continue the struggle against the extremist positions and activities of the Republicans on this issue. It was a vote of unity between blacks and whites across the state, even though the law was used almost exclusively against majority black cities. You know, as I say, black people and white people, this is a point of unity of the majority of people in the state against the Republicans. And so I hope the Democratic Party will really put both feet into this and continue to fight on behalf of people's basic rights to elected representatives and not to be ruled by dictators.
Well, you're right, Charles. Thank you for your call. And, Mark, certainly that was an important victory, but it's a reminder that there's great work to be done because we know the legislature is already working on replacement legislation.
Oh, that's right, Tony. I mean, we're very proud of that. Matter of fact, the Michigan Democratic Party was the first organization to go on record against that bill, the bill that eventually became PA4, way back in February of 2011. We could see this coming. And so we're very proud of that. It was a great effort to repeal that law. But you're absolutely right, Tony. The Republicans are gearing up to enact another one. You know, as Tim Grimmel and others have said, we're willing to work with them as long as this law, this new law, is more democratic and less dictatorial and doesn't displace, you know, local voters and local elected officials from their important roles in our system. We understand that there's a need to address financial emergencies, but it needs to be done in a democratic, with a small d, a democratic way.
You know, Mark, just to kind of go back to our list of things to be thankful or things that you are thankful for, I know one of the things that you want to address is at the local level, the people that are the presidents and the vice presidents and the secretary and treasurers of Democratic clubs and other organizations around the state that really do a lot of the footwork in these campaigns.
Oh, they do all of it, Tony. This is the time of the cycle where we are electing our new leadership, executive committees, and officers at the county level for the next 2 years. Congressional districts and clubs and caucuses will come shortly. So I've been traveling the state, visiting and talking to these local conventions, thanking them for the great work they did just a couple weeks ago now. But also really inspires me, Tony. I mean, there are tens of thousands of people out there who give of their time. They don't get paid. They don't do it for any tangible reward. But just because they believe in the party, they believe in its candidates, they believe in what we're doing, and it's really inspiring to get out and talk with them. They're very happy with the election results. They understand we got some tough challenges ahead, but among the things I'm very thankful for and all the party leadership is thankful for are these tens of thousands, this legion of hardworking volunteers out there. We cannot succeed without them, and we're very grateful for everything they do.
Absolutely. And although we certainly in our congressional campaigns would have liked to have seen a few more seats flip, we should be thankful that the people that we do have serving us, some of them had quite a fight. Congressman Gary Peters, now in a new district that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but he surely stepped up to the task. Congressman Conyers, Congressman Dingell, Congressman Levin, Senator Stabenow, Senator Levin. I mean, Mark, we have a lot of people that we should be very proud of because these are people of great experience who never forget their district or their state.
Well, that's right, Tony. And I think too often here in Michigan, we you know, we take it for granted. I mean, these people, and I say this without exaggeration, these are national resources. Nobody can match the expertise of a Sandy Levin, a John Dingell, a John Conyers, Dan Kildee with his specialization in urban issues, Gary Peters with his knowledge of the financial markets, Debbie Stabenow, what she does for the auto industry and agriculture, Carl Levin, you know, his leadership on the Armed Services Committee and so forth. These are national people of national stature. They are national resources, and we are, by God, lucky enough to have them as our members of Congress and United States senators. So we all should be very grateful this week that they have stepped up and given so much of their lives to public service. It helped us here in Michigan, but also nationally. Again, I think too often we take them for granted. We see them all the time. We see them at conventions. We see them at party meetings. But we don't realize that people in other states don't have people of this stature and knowledge serving them.
You know, it was interesting. I was recently at a public event, and Congressman Dingell was there. And there was person after person after person, Mark Brewer, walking up to him, asking him questions, asking him to advocate for something. And his wife, Debbie Dingell, leans over to me and says, "I want. Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" I say, "Yeah, absolutely." So here it is. However many years this man's been serving in Congress, and yet he still takes the time to listen to anybody that comes up to him to talk to him about issues. He takes notes. He leans over. He reminds me, "Hey, make sure I do this. Make sure I make this call." This is a man that has served the state of Michigan so profoundly well that you could never replace a guy like that.
Oh, no. I was with John and Debbie last Saturday in Washtenaw County at the county convention there, and John and Debbie were doing the same thing. It'd be so easy for them to basically take things for granted. No. They love getting out with the grassroots folks, talking to folks, working with folks, and I saw that same kind of adulation and respect to John Dingell on Saturday in Washtenaw County, Tony.
Well, Mark, I want to make sure that we just have a minute or so here to tell you that not this radio show, but myself as a Democrat, as a dues-paying member of the Michigan Democratic Party, as an activist, as someone that cares deeply about politics here in the state of Michigan, I appreciate and I'm thankful for you, Mark Brewer, for all the leadership that you've provided, for a really uncompromising and really unequaled Supreme Court fight this time around, what you did in helping to recruit candidates, all the travel that you do to support the Democratic parties, literally from the Upper Peninsula. Maybe people don't remember, you did a UP tour not long ago. Mark, you are always out in the street. I can't be more thankful for our leadership as I am of you.
Well, thank you, Tony, and same to you. I mean, you have been a terrific, and will continue to be, I'm sure, a terrific progressive voice, sometimes a lonely voice, as we see the mainstream media increasingly conservative and not willing to stand up and tell the truth. So I'm grateful, finally, for you and your advocacy, your voice, week in and week out. I see you out all over the place. It would be real easy for you to just sit on the radio and do your important work, but you're out there in the community. You're out there being a spokesperson. And so on behalf of the Democratic Party, Tony, we're grateful for you.
Well, thank you. Mark, have a great, great Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you at least get that day off, and we'll look forward to visiting with you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. A very quick break here when we continue. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan.com, and 10 seconds of audio that will wake you up. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Fog is causing all sorts of backups this morning. Stop and go traffic, I-75 northbound between 9 Mile and 12 Mile Road. Also, we have stop and go traffic, US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and North Territorial Road. And traffic is moving slow along I-696 westbound between the Lodge and the I-96, I-275, M5 junction. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If for no other reason, President Obama's re-election was a victory in the sense that America averted a hard Romney-Ryan lurch rightward, downward, and backward all at once. Ouch, that would have hurt. By campaign's end, it was painfully clear that Romney, a lifelong son of privilege, had no understanding of, empathy with, or appreciation for ordinary workaday Americans. He really is a born CEO who accepts in his heart, mind, and soul the Ayn Randian fiction that America really is made up of a small class of noble producers and a mass of moochers. The man from Bain Capital, who had made a fortune by taking over corporations and coldly axing longtime loyal employees, quietly brought that corporate side of his character back into play on election night. Even as he was on national television delivering his brief concession speech, his campaign apparatus was being swiftly dismantled. Left in the lurch were Romney's many staffers who had toiled so faithfully for so long. Late that night, many of these disappointed and weary ones grabbed cabs home from the campaign's headquarters, only to find upon arrival that the Romney for President credit cards they had been using were suddenly no good. Without even telling these aides, the boss who wanted to be our nation's leader had abruptly yanked this modest benefit from the people who had tried to help him get there. They had just lost their jobs, but multimillionaire Mitt stuck them with paying out-of-pocket for cab fare. This is Jim Hightower saying, come on, with untold millions stashed in offshore bank accounts, couldn't Romney have ponied up a few small bills to cover this last ride home? Of course he could have, but he wouldn't. Of all things to think of doing on election night, cutting off his employees' credit cards was a priority. We're lucky this sorry character lost.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. I want to thank Chairman Brewer once again for his ongoing commitment to the success of this radio show as he joins us every single Monday morning. We are appreciative. Well, somebody else that joins us every other single Monday morning is Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com. So let's get an intro and let's get going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog rule.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us is my sister, Christine Berry. How's my favorite turkey doing on this turkey week?
Oh, gobble, gobble, gobble.
There you go. Great to have you back.
Hey, high five to you and to all your listeners for pulling off the election last Tuesday. That was great.
You had something to do with that, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. I'm still tired. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. You were asking about Thanksgiving, and for me, it's going to be eat and sleep.
That would be my plan as well. I've got 4 days coming, and I'm going to take all four of them, absolutely. You know, listen, before we get into our topic, I've got courtesy of bloggingformichigan.com, but I've got 10 seconds of audio that I want this audience to hear, and just so they know, not that they won't recognize the voice, this is Governor Rick Snyder in 2010. Play that audio, please.
Would you sign a bill making Michigan a right-to-work state? Across your desk.
I would sign it, but I don't put it on my agenda.
I would sign it, but I don't put it on my agenda. I think that is the only audio, Christine Berry, where he actually doesn't squirm around that question.
I agree. That's pretty clear that he would sign it. He did not hesitate in his answer to that question. But I've never found him actually giving a direct answer anywhere else. He did add that weird little language at the end that it's not on his agenda, which is code for I'll do what I want when the time comes. But, he obviously supports it at some level.
Yeah, well, obviously he does. And, you know, let's go back. Let's go into, as my friend Joe DeSana would say, let's go into the Wayback Machine. And let us resurrect the spirit of Crazy Jack Hogendyke. And for those that don't remember him, well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, he was in the House. I think he was in the House for all 6 years. He was one of the people who led the fight, the early fights against the teachers and MESA. And now that he's out of the House, he is, you know, carrying the flag for Right to Work for Less and some of these other Tea Publican ideas that are horrible. Ideological ideas that are not in any way data driven, by the way. It's just ideology and political fights. And he's got put out an article recently where he says now is the perfect time to bring up Right to Work for Less again. He says, this is scary. He says the legislation's already written, so nobody in the legislature has to write it. And I don't know why that's a good thing, Tony. That seems bad to me. You know that came from out of state, which means it's not even written for Michigan, but whatever. So he says that the legislation's already written. He says that people defeated Prop 2 and therefore they're opposed to collective bargaining. That's not true. We have studies after the November election that show that 70% of the population supports collective bargaining and the right for labor to organize and bargain for wages and benefits. And of those, it was a strong number. I think 55% of those people voted no on Prop 2 simply because they didn't want it in the Constitution. Or that maybe it was 41%. 55% voted no. 41% of that group said it was because of the Constitution. So we know that voting down the Prop 2 had nothing to do with support for collective bargaining. And this is right after big business spent about $30 million to defeat that proposal. So the right to work for less on a grassroots level is really not going their way, but they're saying that it is.
Well, go ahead. No, go on.
I was going to say, additionally, we have that audio from Snyder, but it comes from 2010, and he was campaigning. I suspect that because he wants to be reelected and we have 2014 coming on us pretty quickly, that he's going to try to push off that right to work for less legislation until his second term, which I hope to deny him. So I don't think now is a good time to Right to Work for Less, but I do think that they think it's their best possible chance right now.
Right, and it's because they're trying to drive the conversation, and that's why if they believe, like Republicans often do, if they say it often enough, people will believe it. And I mean, more than ever, Christine Berry, I believe that's exactly what's happening there, that we're just going to keep on driving home that message that now is the time, now is the time, now is the time. And politically, now is actually really not the time to do this. We do know that not everybody in the legislature, not every Republican in the legislature is embracing Right to Work. And this does create some problems for somebody like Jack Hogendyke, who certainly the most conservative members, not of the legislature, of the Tea Party endorse, but that doesn't mean he's going to have support in the legislature.
That's correct. I think that as a legislative issue, it gets difficult because just because of the logistics of it. In the Senate, Randy Richardville has said that he does not support it. He doesn't want it out on the floor. Whether he will stay in that position, I guess I don't know, but he's been pretty strongly against it so far. In the House, we've closed the gap a little bit. So, forgive me, I've forgotten the numbers already. 58 to 52 it is now?
It's 59-51.
Thank you. Well, whatever it's going to be after January. So we have fewer Republicans we have to target to reason with, and assuming that the Democrats are united against it, we don't have that many battles to fight in the House to keep it from passing the House. But if that legislation were to be introduced and pass the House, get to the Senate, and we know that Randy Richardville says that he won't do anything with it. But if it does and then it gets to Governor Snyder before 2014, I really don't see him vetoing it unless he can come up with a weird reason, like it'll confuse people or something that'll allow him to squirm his way out of it. So One thing we do know, Mike Shirkey, one of the biggest proponents for right-to-work legislation, he's a representative in the House. He has said he won't introduce it until he knows that Governor Snyder will support it.
Right.
So we do have some, you know, we do have some strategies we can work at a, on a legislative level.
Well, I don't know that it won't come up in this lame duck session. But when I say come up, I mean in committee. I'm not so sure that it won't be talked about. I think that the Republicans want to make some people nervous, but I don't see them voting on this before the end of the year, which means it now goes to a new House, which, you know, when we start to break these things down, Christine, yes, it is 59-51, but some of these people barely won re-election, and so they don't have nearly as much leverage as they once did, and something like right to work would be enough to get them pushed out the next time around, if not a recall. And there's some talks that the Republicans need to be very careful because there are groups already gathering to recall.
Well, they do have some very thin ice that some of them are standing on. There's the group really pushing right to work is or right to work for less, as I like to call it. Is a group called Freedom to Work, and they're pretty well organized and funded, and they're looking for a political payback, a political reward right now for having defeated Prop 2, which they're taking credit for. So they might get something, as you said, Tony, that conversation might continue in Lansing in committee or something, but I don't think that it's going to get too far in lame duck. I don't really know what's going to happen legislatively next year, but I really think 2014 is going to hold off the governor, at least, in some of these House races. If you look at everything that's up in 2014, it's all the state-level races except for state Senate. So we might pick up a few more House seats. If Governor Snyder touches right to work for less, he's going to be under some serious attack from the left, and he's already probably looking at a primary attempt from the right. So I just don't see that happening. And, you know, I've got to say, labor has done a really good job on a couple of things over the past couple of years. One is creating a good response to the Republican attack. We've really done a good job fighting back. But the second thing that I would argue is as important is they've done a really good job creating a message that is not a response to a Republican attack, which I think is why you see so much more enthusiasm now for collective bargaining. And, of course, our allies such as Occupy have helped with that as well. So I think that we have the numbers and the passion to fight this back if we really zero in on some strategies here.
Well, and I think that certainly the proposal to fight did one thing very successfully. It got labor to work together with themselves much more than they had in recent memory. And, you know, when we had the big split between the AFL and the Change to Win people, you know, labor was kind of fracturing. They really came together for this effort, Christine.
I agree. I think that maybe the external forces working against them, you know, became a motivator for them to put aside some of the differences they had so that we could really work together and recapture the power that we once had.
Well, I think it's important for people to remember, although we can take a look at attrition, we can take a look at the ongoing assault on organized labor, we know that the percentage of the workforce, it's significantly less than it once was, and I understand all that. But, Christine, what we also see is that when called to action, organized labor still are the only reliable group of people that show up to do campaigns, to knock doors, to do phone banks. When you ask organized labor to step up, they still step up. No matter what's happening to their numbers, they are still doing most of the heavy lifting. We got to take a quick break here. Christine Berry, my guest, she's with bloggingformichigan.com and ChristineBerry.com. That's B-A-R-R-Y. We'll take the break. If you'd like to call, do it now. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
Recently on First Shift.
I proudly believe that the people of the great state of Michigan, every working family in this state, deserves better than they're getting. I'm never going to apologize for that.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Ross, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Looking for fun, come rain or come shine? Look no further than Cherry Hill Lanes, Clarkston. This is classic entertainment at its finest. Visit SweetJack.com for 46% off six games for two people. Bowl for the turkey.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Christine Berry, once again, my guest. She is the founder of bloggingformichigan.com. We're taking a look at right to work and this idea that this is the perfect time. Of course, those that are saying that are on the right. And, you know, we can make an argument, Christine, not that I'm trying to help the right here, but, you know, we know that with gerrymandering, there was a deliberate point to that. It was to pass more of their draconian legislation. We know they weren't successful on Proposal 1. They were successful on Proposal 2. We know that they didn't do as well as they hoped to electing state representatives on election day, but of course they didn't lose their majority, but again, it's a much thinner margin. I could go on and on and on here, but I think the point I'm trying to make here, especially as it relates to gerrymandering, as Mark Brewer said in the last half hour, we weren't looking to gerrymander for a Democratic gain. We were looking to redistrict for an even playing field. Well, the Republicans don't want that because, as we found out in the last election, more Democrats voted than Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. The you know, the Republicans are about power, not democracy. They just want the seat. They won't stop until they snap your neck. So it's just about power for them. And it, to a certain extent, on a big level, it doesn't really matter to them what the public thinks. You know, they'll do what they want, and then they'll come back and sell their bad decisions as tough decisions that are somehow admirable because the public doesn't like them. So that's kind of a hard thing to fight back on if you don't have, you know, if you don't have unity in language so that we can all come up with a message that can fight back against the machine. If I'm, you know, if I'm explaining this well, I'm not sure, but you don't want to have thousands of different messages coming from individuals saying, hey, that was not what we voted for, even though you're in office. You want to have one cohesive message coming from the people to fight back against that kind of thing.
Well, and as you point out in your latest blog post at bloggingformichigan.com, that you need to reach out to the governor, to Randy Richardville, the Senate Majority Leader, to Jace Bulger, the House Speaker, to your senator, to your representative, and you need to tell them all to vote no for right to work. And listen, when somebody is the majority leader in the Senate, he is the majority leader for all of the people in the Senate. He has a right to, you have a right to contact him, as you would with Jace Bulger, as you would with your state rep and your state senator. There's nothing wrong with reminding these people, again, including Governor Rick Snyder, that you are opposed to right to work, and they need to hear from you.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, there's a strategy that we can use on a legislative level and target the people who we know can be reasoned with. The governor, Randy Richardville in particular, we can reach out to Jace Bulger. He's got a bloody nose from his election. I mean, you can reach out to all of these people, really, and just use some of the tactics you may have used to get out the vote. Ask two or three people to do that as well. And don't forget, we also have a fight in the court of public opinion, if you will. We can push back with letters to the editor. There's editorials and opinion pieces out there that can be written that we can try to get published. You know, I call this what it is. This is, this right to work for less is not about the economy, Tony. Your earlier guest, Ross, demonstrated that with real scientific analysis. It's not about the economy. It's not about creating jobs. It's about devaluing the product that organized labor provides, which is better wages and benefits. It's about attacking labor as a political force. I mean, why don't we just make it illegal for gas stations to sell gas and call it a right to drive? And, it, you know, you would never do that because you know that that's a product that gets sold that they pay for. Well, this is a product that labor unions provide. Why should they not be compensated through dues? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's different ways you can present this to your neighbors and your friends to help them understand that this is not about the economy. This is about attacking labor.
And it is about attacking labor. And something you said just a little while ago, for Republicans, it's about control. It's about power. It's about all the things we don't want politics to be, Christine.
Exactly. This is just a political tool for them. It doesn't have any, it doesn't have any impact on policy except to, you know, reduce the power of the people. And, you know, I want to say that the unions are not just about, you know, getting better benefits for their members. They are a very important force in our society for charity work as well. I mean, look at all the work that the unions have been doing to help the victims of Sandy, and every time that there's a disaster that comes up, it's always labor that gets together at their halls and starts collecting food or cash or whatever. Why would the Republicans attack that? I thought they liked that kind of thing.
Yeah, you wonder why they do everything they do these days. I just find it so interesting. I'm still trying to figure out how they could renominate and then reelect as the Speaker of the House somebody that is under federal grand jury indictment right now. This guy may end up, we may end up finding that he broke the law, and I will be stunned if we don't. But even if we don't, how does the Republican Party renominate and reelect him as Speaker, Christine? I don't get that.
Well, it goes to their pathology. If they didn't, if they would think they were admitting that they were wrong. You know, they can't possibly allow that. So, they put him back up there. And, you know, maybe they legitimately felt like they owed him for the gerrymandering that saved their butts. I don't know.
No.
But I think they just double down on dumb. They do that on everything.
Yeah,
every time they're wrong, they just say, no, we're right. And they do it again.
And, sadly, they get away with it.
Well, and they won't for long, though. You know, if we keep showing up, if we keep registering voters, and we keep pushing on and the way that we push back in this last election, over the next few years, there's going to be a real change in America, and it's going to be driven from the bottom up,
just like
it needs to be.
Couldn't agree with you any more than that. I hope you have great plans for Thanksgiving, and you do get some time off. I hope it is the eat, sleep, and watch a little football. I hope that you have 4 days of that.
Oh, that sounds like heaven. Hey, I love talking to you, Tony. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it is my pleasure. Happy holidays to you, and we will visit with you again in 2 weeks.
Okay, brother. I'll see you then.
You bet. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan.com. By the way, we write each other all the time, and it's, hey, brother, hey, sister. I love her. I adore Christine Berry. I don't remember exactly when we started the blog roll segment, but I believe it was actually right after the first of the year. I think that it can't be that long. Well, whenever it was well worth it. It was well worth it. Glad that that happened. All right, we're going to clean it up in this hour. In the next hour, we're going to occupy your minds with some really interesting information. How about a program that is similar to what debt collectors do, but it would benefit you? Don't scratch your head. You'll find out. And if you're a vet and you want a job, we just may be able to get you one. That's right. First Shift's got a lot in store for you yet on this Monday morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you. A quick break, and we'll be back after the top of the hour news.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Accident-wise, not much to report out on your roadways right now, so that's good. We just have one accident blocking your right shoulder, I-75 northbound at 12 Mile Road. And we have slow-moving traffic, I-275 southbound between 6 Mile Road and M-14. Also slow traffic, I-696 eastbound between Woodward Ave and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy with a high of 55. Tonight, a low of 39. Tomorrow, 56 and partly cloudy, and it's currently foggy and 33. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano, now on for four full hours from...